Now we'll go to Galatians chapter 24. Genesis 24. Genesis chapter 24. Verse 63. Genesis 24, 63. All right, when you found that, let's bow for prayer. Sorry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me say something, anything that you would say if you were here, God. I don't want to say anything that I want to say. I just want to be a help to these men. I have learned a lot about my own walk with God and about my own ability to trust God and my inability. I've also learned about my own mind, and I'm always fascinated by the fact that I think. Thank you for giving us more than just body, flesh, to give us a conscience, give us a heart, you give us a brain. Lord, most of the time we live by our stomachs. I pray right now, God, that we would be able to let you teach us something about how to fix this thinker. Lord, we're in need of listening and hearing from you tonight. Let us sit at your feet and learn something, please, from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 24, verse 63 says this. And Isaac went out to, please tell me the next word.
Meditate.
I would just circle that word in your Bible. You say, well, write in my Bible, please write in your Bible. Circle that word because that is a Bible word. It's not a yoga word. Okay? Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide and lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Now that probably, there's more going on there than any guy here could ever just imagine. Because I wonder what Isaac was thinking when he went out into that field. They didn't have mobile phones back then. He didn't know when the camels were coming. He had no idea what was happening. He just went out to the field like he always did. Can you mark that down in your head? This was not a once-off, like you were talking about the battle against the flesh and the spirit. It's not a once-off thing. And Isaac had something going for him. He regularly went out and he meditated. So I want to talk to you about that tonight, because I don't know what he was meditating. But the fact is, he had a habit of going and meditating. God, you know, when God points out something, we ought to go, I wonder if that's important. Okay? Oh, I can imagine, all right? When he would go out looking, it's towards evening, so he's going out and the stars are starting to show out, and I bet you he's looking up there going, I wonder how many stars are up there. I mean, just started thinking, you know? I bet you he looked up there and he says, I wonder what those stars are. I wonder what those lights are. I wonder how far away they are. Why are some of them red? Some of them are green. Some of them are white and blue. I wonder why God took the time to make colors and stars. Wonder why they don't move. Then he probably turned on to, man, God, you're awesome. What am I? Why do you even think about me and this little planet of ours? God, I wonder how big you are. Then he moved on to, is Eliezer ever going to find me a wife? Will she be pretty? What if she's not pretty? What if she's not happy? What if she fights all the time? What if she's angry and loud and mean? What if she can't have children? Bringing her mother with her to live with us. That's when he started to panic, all right? Just know this, okay? Isaac's taken some time to think and ponder and meditate instead of worrying. Okay? When you're waiting, hard not to worry, all right? But when you're sitting out and you're meditating, questions are normal. It's a good thing to ask questions. You know, there are a lot of things that are hard to be understood. Peter wrote about it, and he said, what Paul writes goes right over my head, Peter said. He says, there are some things that Paul writes that are hard to be understood. That doesn't mean you switch off. What that encourages you to do is to ponder them slower. Okay? Because how much of the Scripture was written for your learning? All Scripture was profitable for you. So just because you can't figure it out now, just put it back there and bring it up and look at it. God will teach it to you. Now God shows us, well, Isaac shows us, it's good to meditate. What does that mean? What does it mean to meditate? It means time away from work, away from mom and dad, away from the indoors, away from the wife, away from the problems. Take time. You cannot meditate if you're stressed out. Okay? Can I get you to write that in your head? You cannot actually meditate. You can panic. You can fret. You can worry. You can stew. But you can't meditate unless you are at rest. So get home, then get out the door. Take time. Get away from everything. Go for a walk, especially in the evenings. It ought to be the habit. The Western world is stressed out. Everybody always relaxes in front of the television. That is damning. That is stupid. Do you know, you don't do it. When you sit down on the couch and you watch a television show, your body doesn't rest. Your body's tensing up. Your brain is processing 4,000 frames a minute coming into your eyes. You're trying to keep track of who just shot that fire, who just died, where'd that thing come from? You don't rest. By the way, time alone is not bad. Some people hate. But if you're going to meditate, you ought to do it alone. To actually meditate is a Bible concept. It is a Bible word, so it's not a bad word. And when you are, listen, Isaac shows us, it's actually you should take time to look around. Were his eyes closed when he was meditating? No. He saw the camels coming. All right? I don't think he was looking for the camels, but his eyes are open. So meditation doesn't mean that you're, okay? Look around. I'll talk about that in a moment. Look around. Ask God questions. I just think, listen, when I look at the sky, I go, God, you made blue. That blows my mind. He designed colors. So just stop and go, wow. Okay? And lastly, there are times when you can close your eyes, take a deep breath, and just decide, I'm not going to worry, I'm going to trust. That's part of meditation. And that's what Isaac seems to be able to do very well. So let's talk about what is biblical meditation. It means, if you write this down, really deep, here we go, you ready? To think a long time about something. It's really deep, isn't it? What it means to meditate, to think a long time about something, anything. Another word for it is to contemplate, to study. You know, I'm glad my kids are not growing up with Google. Because my kids had to go to a book, open it up, find the answer, and then write it down. Amen. Most people who use their phone to look up stuff never learn a single thing. I don't believe that this generation is learning anything. Stay with them, because they don't actually study. They don't ponder. What are they learning? To meditate means to look at something in every way possible. You know, when you look back at a memory, say you got something where you got hurt. How do I give you an example, man? Maybe you were hurt by a bully. Maybe you were hurt by a family member. Maybe you were emotionally, physically, any number of ways of hurt. You need to go back to that memory and look at it and be a man enough to look at it, look at it from all the directions, and start to come to the conclusion, not just why. Whys are the hardest questions to find answers. Job didn't get the answer to why. But when you look at that situation, you start looking at it, you'll start to bring light onto it. And when the devil's got that thing hidden in your heart, you won't deal with it. You won't bring it out there. You don't have to go and tell everybody about what you're feeling or what you felt back then. But in your mind, you start looking at things, bring some light onto it. And the Word of God gives you light, that God works all things together for good.
And when my dad left my mom when I was 12 years old, it was the worst time of my life. It was a time when I wanted to die. I ran away. I didn't care about anybody. I hated my dad. Everything about it, I look back on that and I says, but if it weren't for that breaking my life and making me go through the next 5 or 6 years of my life running from everything, all of a sudden I realized I was running from God. And at 17, when somebody gave me the gospel, I was ready. Amen. I don't think God used my dad's leaving my mom to get me saved. That wasn't the purpose of him leaving, but God made it all turn out for good. You see how it works? So I bring some light onto that thing, and I come away going, thank you, Lord. I could be dead, but you gave me chance after chance to hear the gospel, and it worked. So it's to examine stuff. Sometimes you can look at past bad times, or you can look at just a truth in the Bible, and you pull that thing out, and you look at it like I show you the scriptures, and I say, who's this? Who's that? What does that word mean? That is what you do when you're alone, and you ponder, and you contemplate. You know what makes a diamond beautiful? Three dimensions. If you ever buy your wife a diamond, all right, or you buy your girlfriend a diamond to get married in and stuff like that, you know what she's going to do? She's going to put it in different lights, or the saleswoman or salesman, they've got all these lamps on them to show you all the different colors and all the different. Why are they doing that? Because it makes it more beautiful. If you just had a two-dimensional flat little picture of a silver little object, it wouldn't please anybody. But because it has three dimensions, and most of our memories are two-dimensional. Most of our memories and our thoughts are, it just happened. And we don't understand. We don't ponder it. We don't think about it. So all we're doing is we're filled with feelings and emotions and events that have no meaning to us. So when stuff comes up, pull it out and look at it under the light of the scripture, under the light of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you say, Lord, what does this mean for me? What were you trying to show me? What did you try to do to get me closer to you? Because I want not to be wasted. If you ever get to the place where you start to meditate, you will learn to ignore everything around you for a little while, so you can just think on one thing. Well, let me save my examples for a minute. When you meditate, it means that your mind is normal, okay? It's just filled with muck. I'm glad that God gives us men the ability to compartmentalize. All right, I just tell you, I wouldn't want to have a woman's mind. I'm sorry, I just have a woman's mind that has to process everything at the same time. I'm glad I can put stuff over there and leave it for a little while, come back and look at it, okay? But let me tell you, when you start looking at your life and you start to be honest with how you really are, you'd be ashamed. And what meditation allows you to do is to drill down, and find good in your bad situations. And in your past, not that you were good, but that God was there. Even when you were lost, God was there. Can you agree with that? Meditation means to drill down and to plant truth where there was only darkness, only discouragement, defeat. So, biblical meditation. Now there's some truths. Oh yeah. This is what we normally think about when we think of meditation. All right? Scratch that. Because that's when Isaac went out and he was alone and he's just thinking, I don't know. I don't think he's thinking about food like we would. I don't think he's thinking about what's on Netflix or Hulu. I don't think he's thinking about what everybody down the street is doing. I don't think he's thinking about all the binge TV shows he's seeing. I don't think he's thinking about anything we think about. I think he's just thinking. Which is what we need to do. And that's a good thing. Let me talk to you because some truths about a man's thoughts. Number one, what you think can hurt you. Sin begins in our thinking. Do you know, can you stop the presentation of temptation?
Can you stop somebody from presenting? Can you stop the devil from tempting you? Yes or no? No. Well, being tempted is not sin. Are you with me? Okay. So you say, that tempted me. Welcome to the human race. Okay? Jesus was tempted in all points, such as we are, and yet we sin. So temptation, as you struggle with it, is not where the real struggle is. After temptation comes what's called illumination. Are you ready for this? Illumination means you understand, ooh, that's wrong. I should not do a second look. All right? Illumination is where the penny drops and you go, I can't go down that road. The third step is debate. And your brain starts going, well, nobody will find out. And the brain starts going, it's been a while. Nobody's around. Debate is where sin begins. Right there. Okay? What you think can hurt you. That's why the Bible says something goes along inside of your head and it doesn't belong in there, you have to cast it down. You have to throw it out. You're going to have to put it under the blood. You're going to have to purge it hour after hour sometimes. What you think can hurt you. Secondly, what you think is what you become. Jesus said that what you think is actually who you are. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, that doesn't mean the only thought, you know, these homosexuals and everybody, they teach that once a child has any kind of question about their gender and all this stuff, they must be queer. No! The passing thought does not define you. It's when you're thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. No wonder they put it on every TV show. No wonder they want to teach it from your 5 years old, because they're trying to get kids to think about it, because as you think is how you become. Amen? We are the product of our thoughts. The Bible puts it this way, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now you know what controls your mouth? Your heart doesn't control your mouth, your brain does. And your brain says, ooh, I like that feeling, and out comes the words, and out comes the thoughts into your actions. When the brain should say, no. Your brain's the governor of your heart. Your heart, nobody can control, amen? So you can't just go and say, I wish my heart didn't feel this way. I wish my heart wasn't lonely. I wish my heart didn't hurt. You can't wish that, or you can't fix it. But you can govern whether you allow the heart to take over. That's where the brain has to be used. Follow your heart. Wrong. If you follow your heart, you're going right over a cliff. What you think is what you become. A Christian man should not trust his own thoughts, but should rule them. It's the last thing, gentlemen, you can rule. The Bible says a man should rule his own home. Amen? I got two yeps. I know some of you are terrified of taking rule or control over your own home. But it's the last thing that any man is still allowed to rule. And it'll be your thoughts. God expects you to be in charge of your thoughts, not the devil. Amen. Amen. So the truth about our thoughts as men is, don't trust your thoughts. What do I mean by that? Well, not everything you think needs to be thought. Not everything you think needs to be thought. Not every thought in your head is your own, by the way. See, what do you mean? You know, the Bible says the devil come along and can plant stuff in your head and stir up stuff inside your head, and you go, where'd that thought come from? Don't even try. It just comes in there, and you got to cast it down. Do not believe every thought that comes into your head. Oh, he looked at me. Wrong. Come on. Not everything that you, every thought that comes into your head is right. A Christian man has to have his thinking under the constraint of things that are right. Under the influence of the Spirit of God, constrained by what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says that I can't just prejudge anybody. Amen. So I look at somebody and I go, I don't like them. But the Bible says I have to love them. I may not trust them, but I have to love them. Amen. So my brain has to be constrained, which means restrained, has to be controlled by something outside of it. So examine your thoughts and your feelings. Think about what you're feeling. Suicide. You know, when you're thinking about killing yourself, somebody else comes up, don't think. You gotta listen to them. But you need to listen to yourself. What am I thinking this for? What about delusions? Demonic attacks. If there's anything our modern human male is under, it's demonic attack. I mean, you just can't escape the fact that the devil has such a power, especially over Europe. You don't need to go to Africa to see demon-possessed people. I see them walking down every street, man. You just remember what it's like on Friday night at 10 o'clock. Demon-possessed people. Anyway, so take time to go for a walk and start meditating. It'll help you to slow down your wrath. It'll change you to where you go, you know what, I was upset, but I'm not upset anymore. Isn't that what, did anybody ever get taught that? Count to 10 before you speak. Anybody ever get taught that? You know what that meant? It meant stop, breathe. All right, good. That's a good advice for that moment, but why don't you make a habit of just, I'm going for a walk. Okay? Lastly, nobody just automatically thinks. This may be revolutionary to you. It was revolutionary to me. I went, you know what? Most people don't think. They have to be taught to think. Problem solving. I was talking to John. He's got three of my grandkids. And
there you go.
He better take it serious. Amen. No. But, you know, if you're a parent, do you know what you're supposed to teach your children? Are you ready? To think. It means problem solving. That means, I gave him a couple of examples. Connor's the oldest, all right? So Connor's 5 years old. So we were sitting there talking, and I said, John, you ought to set Connor somewhere and present a situation like, somehow, Chloe, his sister, is up on the roof. How do we get her down? Now, he's only 5 years old. Now, it doesn't matter whether he comes up with the right answer, but that's just a foolish example of he can start to think about, wow, how would we get her down, Daddy? All right, Connor, the fire alarm's going off. Daddy's not around. You don't know where Mommy is. What do you do? Now, Connor's 5 years old. I pray he never has to ever face a fire alarm in his house. But problem solving is not taught anymore. Phone rings. Dad's in the shower. Mom's upstairs taking care of the baby. It keeps ringing, Daddy. What do I do? Well, you can go knock on Daddy's door. You can ignore it. But if it keeps ringing, maybe you're 5 years old. Maybe it's a little bit young. But problem solving, this is how you answer the phone. This is what I expect you to say when you answer the phone. I want you to get a pen and write down their name and their number. Don't tell them that I'm in the shower. All right? Don't tell them Daddy's not home. You see, they need to be taught to think. Amen?
Yeah.
How many of you still need to be taught to think? All right, great. Daddy, wish my daddy would do that. Anyway. I'm not sure what he said, but anyway. Folks, the thoughts of a man are supposed to be good. They're supposed to be righteous, holy, and honorable, but they don't happen by accident. Doesn't David say this? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, because he sees them, be acceptable in thy sight. Now, question is, how in the world can we repair wrong ways of thinking and the pileup of wicked and wrong thoughts in our heads and our memories? How in the world do we tame this mind of ours? All right. Well, I have to, and I'm going to teach you just some things about biblical meditation. First of all, don't write them down. If you want the list, I can give it to you. There are so many. This is about a quarter of the list of things that I have found myself. I bet you if you did a wiki search or whatever, you could find more benefits for meditation, but most of it is all worldly and ungodly and un-Christian ways. But these are biblical ways that a person is benefited just by taking time, not just to read their Bible, not just to pray, not just to go to church, not just to be with your family, but to meditate over and over in the Bible. It is a way to have good health. Listen, everyone needs good friends. But let me just say that not everybody has a good friend. Meditation is the second best thing. Biblical meditation will allow you to talk about how you feel with the best friend of yours. Okay? It changes my attitude when I actually take time to do it. My meditation of Him, God, I'll be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. So His time of meditation makes Him glad. It calms my fears. Psalm 119:23 says, did sit and speak against my servant, speaking of himself, did meditate in my statutes. They were planning to bring me down. I meditated on God's word. Let the proud be ashamed, for they deal perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. You start looking up, meditate in your Bible, and you start finding out they did a lot of it. It's actually enjoyable. Psalm 119:97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So I don't know how David, a king, took time out to go meditate, but evidently, regularly, he would stop whatever business was going on, whatever complaint people were making about the kingdom or about whatever, and he'd say, I got a break. I'll be back in 15 minutes, and he would go and meditate because he loved the time with God. It actually advanced me beyond education. I know more than all my teachers. Why? Because I'm smarter? Because I meditate in thy precepts. That's what the Bible says. You want to be smarter than Miss Smarty Pants up there teaching trigonometry? Meditate in God's word. Amen. I can't go through this all the time. Proverbs 4:20 says very clearly, it says, my son, attend to my words. Pay attention to me. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That means keep them where you meditate on them, where you taste them. Just enjoy them. Keep them in thine heart. For they, God's words, are life unto those that find them, in health to all their flesh. No doctor's going to agree with you on that. But the Bible says you're a lot healthier if you hide God's word away where? Now, hide doesn't mean you hide it so that you can't find it. It means you store it away. Like if I came into your house and I went looking for a cup, I'd have to go looking because you've hidden away the cups. You've organized them so that you know where they are. So you need a place in your heart where you store away every scripture and you grab it when you need it. The rest, it changes me overall, makes success, and it encourages me. Anyway, now, four things you need to do if you're ever going to be able to take time to meditate and spend time meditating, all right? These are things that you need to make a habit of before you make the habit of meditation. You ready? Number one, do some regular fasting. Maybe schedule once a month for more than 6 hours. I fast every day, Pastor. Yeah? Breakfast. I break my fast in the morning. Anyway, do you realize so much of our food is junk? You've got more junk in your gut. And I'm going to tell you something you may not understand, but your gut is part of your brain. And when you fill that gut up and it can't digest it, and your health is bad, your mind cannot think clearly. End of story. Fasting is great for the mind like it is for the rest of your body and your health. If you have trouble just reading your Bible, I will tell you this, you're eating and drinking too much sugar. You're eating and trying to digest so much processed foods. You think it's pleasant, but it's making so you can't think when you're reading the Bible. And if you're tired of that, and I hope you are, you need to say, I'm going to fast. I've actually thought, Brother Les, of having a men's camp where we didn't have any food. Nobody come. But you know, I think we'd come, amen. Maybe we can do that up in the morning.
But you know what? If you ever really want to have a... You wouldn't believe how clear your mind is after 3 days. You need a... Not a 1 day, not a 2 day. You're going to feel like you're dying on the second day. But after the third day, the Bible's going to have color. Regular fasting. That means drinking water, by the way. Just not coffee and tea and everything else. Secondly, regularly switch some things off. How many have a phone in your pocket right now? Come on, be honest. How many have a phone? All right. Do you know what we do at youth camp? We take everybody's phone. All week long. And so we start on Monday, and Monday night we're preaching to demons. But Tuesday night we're preaching to dead demons to the Spirit of God. By Wednesday night, there's a little awakening. By Thursday night, they're human again. Because they haven't had their phones. They haven't been able to watch everything they want. And by Friday, when they made the decisions, they pick up their phone, they go right back. And we lose all of that momentum. Isn't it awful? Gentlemen, nobody can take your phone from you now. You need to put it down. You need to switch it off and go for a walk and go meditate. Jesus said, go into a closet. Go find a field where nobody else is watching you, where you just stand there and they're not worried about you. Don't go to a bridge, by the way, okay? Don't go to a bridge. People will jump and pull you away. All right, anyway. The old Christians used to call it the blessing place. Where you just knew the presence of God was, and you just went there and you just talked with Him. And you just whatever came to your heart, you're able to just to tell how good God is, like that song. Now, third, regularly laugh. All right? Proverbs 17:22 says, your heart doeth good like a... All right. Now, what I'm trying to get you, that laughing is not meditating, okay? But laughing is healthy so that your body relaxes, so that now you can think. Are you following me? I can tell you, this is what you do to meditate, and it won't do you any good until you've prepared yourself. And listen, hang around people that bring you joy. Okay? If you're around the same old nuts who constantly talk about sin, who constantly pull you down, who constantly gripe and complain, walk away. Okay? Because you need to be around somebody. I wish Eric was here, because Eric are nemesis. He hates my jokes and I hate his. But we laugh, all right? And I need Eric. And Eric doesn't think he needs me. But anyway. But you know, a laugh, a good laugh, helps you. Think about Sarah when she said, God hath made me to what? To laugh. Wow. I mean, if anybody needed to be encouraged carrying around a baby at 90 years old, it was Sarah. Amen. And I'll tell you this. It gets cancer. Do you know what? Everybody knows they need encouragement. They need somebody to just come along and give them joy and just make them laugh and watch the kids play and stuff. Regularly laugh. Just make yourself smile. Just do it. Now, I don't know how to schedule a good laugh. But if you haven't laughed in a while, it's very important to get yourself laughing, man. Praise God for something. Find something that's funny. Not mockingly funny, but funny, man. You know, oh, you just fell. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? Lastly, fill your mind with right things. Not just things. I'm telling you, the devil knows what he's doing when he sits down and gives you amusement. Muse is that word for thinking, pondering, contemplating. The world has abused meditation. If I could just show you amusement. No thinking time. All the thinking's being done for you. All the funny stuff is being done for you. So when you sit there, you're like a sewer, and it's all coming down and coming in, and it's all being processed, and every image is in there.
And you need to start filling things with right, filling your mind with right things. Like good memories. Amen. I had no good memories growing up. Well, make some for somebody else. Take somebody for a cup of coffee and just make them laugh. Tell them what a blessing they are to you. Take your kids out and just swing around till you're both sick. Make a good memory. Man, remember the day you got saved? You don't have to wait once a year to go, I wish I was Pentecostal so I could get saved again and again and again. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time you led somebody to Christ and you just went, you really want to get saved? Yes. Amen. If you've got nothing but bad memories, get you some good ones. That time you put cigarettes down and never picked them up again. Amen. That day one of your children was born, you dance around inside there going, that's my kid. Amen. I sit there when my son Joel was born, I brought a tape recorder and I played the hallelujah chorus in the upper, in the room, you know, hallelujah. I was so thrilled, man. Woo. Fill your mind with good memories. You got bad memories, Pastor? I got tons. But I can't focus on them, man. Devil would like to dredge up all that stuff and make me think about all my failures and make me think about all my wrong decisions and everything. And I say, wait, there's some good stuff there too. And if I'm going to meditate, I'm going to have to try to find some good things to meditate. I need to memorize some good scriptures. Philippians 1:6, my life verses, and you better get you a life verse if you're going to live very long. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Get you some good scriptures that mean something to you. So I memorized John 3:16. Good, get another one. How about Romans 8:28? For we know. I mean, just take time and just process that. For we know that all things work together. So everything's got to come together. Not just one thing. Everything's got to come together in God's hands. And they work together for good. Wow. Get you some scripture to memorize. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now
no
condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. And I don't want to walk after the flesh anymore, but after the Spirit. How about 1 John 4:7? Beloved, let us love one another. Is that right? No. 1 John 4:7-8. Yeah, it's possible. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. You're angry. I don't want to be around that woman anymore. Beloved, let us love one another. I'm telling you, you need to read your Bible to find something that means something to you, and then you need to memorize it. So that when you're out meditating, you bring that stuff up and you go, thank you, God, I've got that. How about, anyway. Read a lot. Be a reader of good books, especially the Bible. Now, some people think that all we do is read the Bible, and that's stupid. But let me tell you this, you ought to read your Bible first. I was told me when I was a new Christian, read everything you get your hands on, but read the Bible. And I do. I have books on science. I have books on astronomy. I've got books by Carl Sagan. right the first time. I have read well over, I'd say 150 books on science cover to cover. And most of them were evolutionary. Most of them were way off the track. I've read them. But I've read my Bible through them on the 40th time. And that's not a brag, that's to tell you, that's my goal, is to read my Bible. Because I've got to, hey listen, we're going out here to the fish in this pond out there, and some of you guys want to go around and go, is there any fish in there? It'd be a waste to have water and no fish. Amen? It'd be a waste to have a brain and no scripture. It'd be a waste to have a brain and nothing to think about. You gotta read. Listen, none of us just sit down. None of us pastors just sit down and we go,
okay, God, lightning rod ready, strike me with a message. You think we do that on Saturday night, maybe? I don't know. I have to read. I read my Bible. I write my notes. And I read somebody else. And I go, I didn't see that at all. I better go back to my Bible. And I mean, I'm testing and challenging. And I'm being challenged. I read. Would you please decide? Well, I can't read anything. I bet you can. I bet you if you did those four things I told you at the beginning, you'd fast for 3 days. I bet you'd want to read. I bet if you took some time and you actually, you just said, Lord, this brain's been used by the devil. It is a tool of the devil. This mouth is controlled by Satan's buttons, and I'm tired of it. I'd like to see what my life can look like when my thoughts are right. So I'm going to start reading. I don't care if you read little simple booklets. Read. But especially your Bible. And lastly, on this thing, pay attention to exhortations. Every time in the Bible it talks to exhortation, guess what it's talking about? Preaching. You say, I don't want to go to church tonight. That's when you need to go. Because when you sit down and somebody is exhorting and bringing conviction to your life, you need to decide, I'm paying attention, and whatever he says I'm supposed to do, if it's from the Bible, I will do it. And when you become that way in your thinking, your life flies. Now, how to meditate? Have you been telling me how to meditate? Not yet. Now I am. You ready? It takes work. Oh, hold on. It takes work. Go to Luke 9:44. Rat. 9:44. What does Jesus say? Let these sayings, all right, sink. Luke 9:44. Jesus says, let these sayings of mine sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of man. What was happening in the minds of the disciples as Jesus talked about going to Jerusalem, being tortured and then crucified and then rising again? What was happening in their brain?
They were saying, no, man,
some of them were like
fighting it.
Well, yeah, they were like, did you hear that? Oh, I didn't hear that. What did you say? Oh, I don't know. One of them would say, I want to be on his right side. Law. It put love before me. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Phrase, the way it's written, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why is it written that way? It's because he has to be your shepherd first before you can be satisfied. Amen? So when you chew the cud like a cow, now you don't know anything, a cow's got four stomachs. They chew something, swallow it, and a little bit later, bring it up, and they chew it some more. Meditation is where you're in that with whatever you're thinking about. It's like a treasure hunter clearing away
the dirt around a vein of gold or maybe a gemstone. Dig and you dig until you find something valuable to you. Then you clear everything away until you can just... And you can look at it under the light of God's word, work in your life. And if you look into your life and say, where was God? It'll bless you. And it takes time to let things sink in. So, go for a walk, first off. Go for a walk. You cannot meditate at home. Not unless nobody's there. But really, the reason why you don't meditate at home is because there's distractions. At home, you're going to have the TV, or you're going to have your computer, or you're going to have the family, or you're going to, there's just things you're familiar with that will get your attention. You need to go for a walk. Genesis 24:63 says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Luke 5:16 says, and he, speaking of Jesus, he withdrew him into the wilderness. And he prayed. So he got away from everybody. So go somewhere. Don't just sit at home. Find a field. An open space free from distractions. I think it's very good for the modern man to get some outdoor air. You're not meant to be indoors all the time. Amen. Secondly, open your eyes and your senses. Take time to look around. Notice the beauty. I'll tell you, my eyesight's going. Old age. But years ago, when I went and I finally got glasses, it was absolutely breathtaking. I put them on and I went outside. I could see individual blades of grass. Like, wow! Unbelievable. Let me tell you, when you do take time to notice things, you'll go, I never saw that over there. I never saw that anywhere. I mean, you will see stuff that you never saw if you will just open your senses. Breathe. Take deep breaths. Rest a while. You know what, gentlemen? You don't need to think sometimes. Just relax. I'm giving you free advice that'll change your life. If you'll take time to just go for a walk, don't worry about what am I going to think about? What am I going to think about? What am I going to think about? Don't. Just go for a walk. Stuff will come up and you'll look in and go, nope. Cast it down, man. Something else will come up. Oh, I want to think on that. Amen. Listen. You know, silence is beautiful to hear.
Absolutely.
I tell you, there's one sound more beautiful than silence. You ready? It's the dawn chorus. How many know what I'm talking about? What's a dawn chorus?
Birds.
It's about 4:30 in the morning, and you go outside, and the birds... It's like the football match. No, it's not like that. It's like 4,000 birds. Like they're all having a feast. It's the most amazing. You go, the sun's not even up, but they are alive. And it is breathtaking. You realize life is going on without you doing anything about it. You're just enjoying it for a little while. View the scriptures you already know. That's what you do when you meditate. Now, I hope you have some scriptures that you know. You should have some scriptures hidden away in your heart to draw from. And I'm not telling you just to start quoting, right, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. No. Draw on the scriptures you need. Now, there's a ton. But there are scriptures that are just for you. I may read them and I may get nothing out of them, but they were written for you at that time. You need to have them in your head. You can't carry around, you know, the whole Bible, but you can carry around things that you know, that you know, that you know you'll need someday. Review those scriptures. Focus. Decide to wonder and learn every word. What did Jesus say in Matthew 4:4? But he answered and said unto him, who's he talking to? Satan. Man shall not live on, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, watch the new Bibles, by the word. No. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So when you're meditating on scripture, you're thinking of every single syllable of every word. That's a good thing. What does that do? It straightens your mind out. It really does. If you think I'm an idiot, go right ahead and believe it. But some of us are going to go ahead in our Christian life, and we're going to get through sane. We may not have any money. We may not have all the things the world has, but I know that my mind hold together because I meditate. I go for walks, and when I'm listening to the Word of God in my heart, it blesses and helps and strengthens me. It makes it so that I can come back and face my problem. My meditation doesn't fix my problem. It fixed my mind.
Yeah,
amen? So when I come back to the problem, I'm at rest. And I can say, now, God, I can trust you with this. Are you with me? I know you're getting tired. Let me quickly run through. Review what God has done. I've already said, but you've made some memories. Now think of them. Listen to Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of old. I remember those old days. Those good old days, maybe. I don't know. But I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. So when you look back at him being a shepherd and watching over those few sheep in the field and that bear and that lion come out and God give him the victory, he says, I remember that day. I remember that. Remember the victories, man. I know you will remember the defeats. But take time to regularly remember things that happened to you that were good. Review what God has done. Somebody says, you know, what have you got to show for your life? I'm saved. God gave me a wife. God gave me 5 kids. I've got 7 grandkids. God's at work, man. None of that's my work. I just happen to be there. Review what God has done. Make yourself think. All right. You're going to think I'm weird. Get in the habit of talking to yourself. How many already know that when you get up early in the morning, the best way to read the Bible is out loud? How many of you know that already? Can I tell you? When you're tired, do not just sit there and read it silently. Okay? The best way to read your Bible early in the morning is out loud. One of the things that's good when you're meditating is to talk to yourself. And you heard about the old man, heard about the old man, and he's walking down the street, and he's always talking to himself. 2 old ladies look at him, and every time he walks by, he's always talking to himself. Hey, 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 why is you always talking to yourself? And he says, because I like talking to intelligent people. There's some truth in that, okay? Talk to yourself. Man, you may not have the courage to talk to God the way you talk to yourself, so start with yourself, amen? Get upset at yourself. Why did I do that? I don't know. But meditation is where you're talking and you're involving your brain and you're thinking out loud. By the way, God does hear you, and he doesn't mind. Your wife may think you've lost it, but God doesn't. Make yourself think. Ask yourselves questions like, why is it so hard to get over this? These thoughts come from, what am I doing wrong? Where have I not repented or humbled myself? Why am I so stubborn? Lord, talk to me. Help me have some answers. You meditate on whatever problems you got or whatever you're thinking about, you find yourself actually end up going, thank you, Lord, for hearing me. It just happens, guys. You can give out to your wife and you're gone, man. You're in the doghouse. You can get angry at your preacher, or you can get angry at everybody else, and it won't help. You get angry at God, and you'll come away going, praise God. Lord lifted my heart. You can give out, you can just start saying, I wish I could die, and the Lord will say, are you sure? You really want to face me being upset at you for killing yourself early? The point is, when you start talking from what's in your heart, and you start being real, it helps. Pray a lot while you're meditating. You see, meditation is a prayer, always. A Christian man's thoughts tend towards God. So go ahead and pray while you're meditating. You do have a list, don't you? You do have some things to pray about, don't you? Amen. Forget the past hurts and the failures. Would you just decide?
Most men blank out the past. I know people who don't remember their childhood. That's a coping mechanism. I know people who can't remember what happened to them last week. But they blank stuff out. Are you with me? That's not what God wants you to do. What God wants you to do is to take them and confess them as bad memories. And then take them and put them under the blood of Jesus Christ and say, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And right now I take this thought, this memory that hurts, that I can't deal with, and I bury it under the blood. You can't bury it underground because it rises up again, amen? You've got to put it under the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake them. It means leave them behind. Amen? I can't go on. Wrestle with memories. Things that just won't go away, wrestle them. If there's anything you ought to be a man enough about, you may not be able to wrestle the cigarettes down, but you ought to be able to wrestle the desire for the cigarettes down. Be real with God. I'm finished. It's okay to feel defeated. Do you know what? I read my Bible. Men cry. I don't like crying. I just don't like it. But it's okay. You know, some of us, when we cry, it completely incapacitates us. I read that in the Bible. That's what happens when men cry. They lose control. You know, when you're meditating and all that stuff starts coming up and you feel like crying, you're going, I can't cry. Just be real. Because that reality will make you more real when you come home. When you come off that field and you come back to your problem and you've gotten it all out, there's just something about thinking through and working through just something. You say, I still got my problems. Amen. But I'm at rest now. And then thank God for spending time with you and that he actually wants to spend that time with you. Because he went for the walk with you, by the way, didn't he? All right. What was Isaac thinking out in that field? We don't know. But he was thinking. Amen. He shows his value in taking time to think. Especially today. So, regular fasting. I bet you won't do this. I bet you I just wasted my time telling you how to fast. But let me tell you, some of you need to say, I'm not going to eat tomorrow. When you get home, I'm not going to eat for 3 days. I'm going to find out if Ledbetter's right. And if he's not, I'll go punch him. Switch some things off for 2 hours, man, and go for a walk. I mean, a walk. Don't take your phone with you. Say, I'm naked without my phone.
Yeah.
I've had guys, I won't tell you who he is, but I've had guys who, when they lost their phone, they were white. Took them a little while to learn. The phone's not life. Amen. I'm picking on him. He's one of my guys. Learn to put it down yourself. Regularly laugh. Fill your mind with the right things. And then go meditate. You don't have to do it all. Don't sit there and go, I gotta do all that. No. Just take that list and do 2 or 3 things. Those things are just simple stuff. You just put that stuff into your life. Go back. Just add stuff to it and make it part of your life where you regularly go meditate. Be nice if you could do it every night. Most of us can't, but it ought to be regular. Father, bless these thoughts. To our thoughts. There was Isaac going out there and meditating. What a simple little act, and yet it is 4,000 years later. Probably one of the top things we need to do regularly in our life. Yes, we need to pray more. Yes, we need to read our Bible more. Yes, we need all that stuff. But I need to do with what I'm hearing, with what I'm supposed to be concerned with. I need to do it first in my head. I need to do it right with you in a field somewhere. Maybe tonight, Lord, when we're through and we're fellowshipping, maybe one or two would go for a walk around. There's plenty of places to walk. Father, I pray that we would just spend some time meditating on some scripture, on some great truth, on some great work in our lives. May we just come back refreshed and saying, Lord, I'd like this to be regular because I want my mind back in your care. In Jesus' name.